Okay, who else is coming in? Who we got to wait for? Billy Graham's not coming. He's not with us anymore. All right, let's start with some prayer requests. Who's got a prayer request today? Pray for Yvonne. She's going to have a biopsy this week. And we got another convert. We took Yvonne to a Southern Gospel concert last night. And I've told people she almost went charismatic on us. She said those songs, everything was what she really needed and really ministered to her. Liberty Quartet, best quartet west of the Mississippi. They're from Idaho. We had a great time. How about where'd Trudy go? Is Jim's going in at home this week, I think? So pray for Jim and Judy. Okay. Other prayer requests today? Yep. Yeah. Melody's got carpal tunnel. They're going to take it away from her. So, or they're going to open it up, whatever they do to carpal tunnel. Ooh. So it's not really committing suicide. It's doctor-assisted suicide, slitting her wrist. Anybody else? Prayer request. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for a gorgeous day. Thank you for the privilege coming into your house to worship you. Father, you created us to worship you. Help us to be faithful in that. Thank you, Lord, for this local congregation, and we just pray your guidance, blessing, and your will be done with all the ministries here. We do pray for these requests. Lord, we lift them up to you and ask that you would intervene and take care of things. You would comfort and heal and reassure them of your presence in their lives. Guide us this morning, Lord, as we look into your word. And Lord, we just thank you for that opportunity. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, for the last 3 years, I think, we've been looking at parables. And we do two, three, or four every year. By the way, Gerard is in town. Well, he's in Colorado Springs, but they won't be up here for a while, Gerard and Don. But anyway, we've been looking at different parables. And we've got three or four left in this series of 13 parables. And today's lesson is called Eat, Drink, and Be Merry. How many of you like to do that? There's nothing wrong with eating, drinking, and being merry. But that's the title of the lesson. And we're going to look into that and what that really means, how that fits in. But a good portion of the lesson, we're going to be talking about money. How many of you like money? Are your arms broken? Melody's the only one who likes a little bit of money. Well, let's look at the handout. And what's the Bible say about money or possessions and so forth? Number one, money is one of the great tests of life, T-E-S-T-S, one of the great tests of life. You know, money has its position in our life, and we're going to look at what that position should be. Number two, money is one of the main problems in a marriage. How many of you ever argued about money in your marriage? Okay, Mike's the only one. Well, but money can cause problems, right, and issues. Can be an issue in our lives. Number three, Christ talked a lot about man's relationship to his possessions. A lot of his teachings and so forth dealt with how we should handle our possessions that God gives us. And you know, how many of you have stuff that belongs to you? Oh, I'm glad there's no hands. Everything we have, we're stewards. Everything we have belongs to God. And we need to be faithful and remember that and be good stewards of what we have. And then the fourth one, a man's relationship to his possessions is a great test of his relationship to God. So where do you place God in the list of possessions? You know, health, family, you list all these things. Where does God fit and where do possessions fit? Let me read a little something here. I think we want to read, yeah, let's go ahead, Kelvin, go ahead and read Luke 12, 1 through 12. The lesson comes after this portion, but we'll see what came right before the parable.
In the meantime, when a numerable multitude of people had gathered together, so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, for there is nothing
Okay, so here Jesus has a multitude of people around him, and he says things, says with such a great audience before him, he spoke of the important matters as the danger of hypocrisy, the fact that the time would come when the secret words and acts of men would be revealed in the light and proclaimed on the housetops, that men should fear him who can should not fear him who can kill the body, but rather fear him who can kill the body and also the power to cast into hell. Jesus taught that the very hairs of our heads are numbered, and some of you thank him for not taking up too much of his time. And then the verse for the answer to the question here, he taught those who love him to confess him before men, to confess him before men. So here we have the very beginning of chapter 11 of chapter 12 of Luke, and let's read a few more verses, Luke 12, 13 to 15. Okay, so this comes right before Jesus is going to tell this parable. So let's read the actual parable itself, then we'll get into the Bible study of exactly what Jesus is saying. Luke 12, verses 13 to 15. No, Luke 12, 16 to 21. Okay, so this is the parable. Let's see what Jesus has to say about it. Roman number one, there are many good things that can be said about this farmer. There's many good things we can talk about him in this parable. Well, what's one thing? Number one, he was industrious. He was a very successful farmer, right? He filled up his barns. He had more than enough. So he was industrious. And we can admire him because he was a working man. He was industrious and he was a working man. Number two, no doubt that this man had reasonable intelligence. You know, he was a smart farmer, and he was very good about, maybe a good steward of what God has given him and multiplied it and so forth. The bullet under that, it takes wise planning to come out at the end of the year with all the bills paid and money in the bank. You have to plan ahead and be a wise steward of what God's given to you. And number three, perhaps this man was a very moral man. We're reading something into this, but it doesn't say that he wasted his substance with riotous living. So he was probably a good guy, and he didn't waste his money with riotous living. So what's his problem? We could end the story right there, right? But this is a parable to teach us something. So what else can we learn about this man? Number two, Roman number two, what was his great sin? What was his great sin? Number one, it was a sin of covetousness. You want to spell that? Larry will spell it for you. He was a school teacher. Right, Larry? Covetousness. He coveted his possessions, right? The bullet under that, his heart was in his material possessions. It seems like from this parable, that's what mattered to him. You know, he wanted to do all this stuff, and so he was covetous. He was centered around his material possession. Number two, it was also a sin of ingratitude, a sin of ingratitude. And let's see if we can sing. Let's sing the doxology together, okay? And see how that is a message of gratitude to God. Let's sing it. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I decided to sing that because Fletcher got a roaring applause when he sang last week. You know, I'm in competition with my son-in-law. They got home safely. Anyway, but that little chorus we call the doxology is just a way to praise God from all the blessings flow. It's got a bunch of verses to it too, by the way, which we never sing. And anyway, okay. Also, a sin of ingratitude. James 1:17. Okay, everything good in our lives comes from God. You know, we got to realize, thank Him. And if you don't thank Him every day, shame on you. We need to thank God continually. You know, what I like to do when I go to bed at night, I used to go to bed and in 3 minutes I was zonked out, but that doesn't work anymore. But I reflect over my day, thanking God for the previous good night's rest and for breakfast and just go through the day and thinking of things. I don't remember everything. But just thanking Him. We need to thank Him continually for what He does for us. Then Psalm 103, 1 and 2. I know who has that. She's going to say it from heart, by heart. Okay. Well, if you were under preach, Dr. Lewis Atkinson, who wrote all these lessons at Circle Drive Baptist, if you didn't know those two verses, he'd kick you out of his church. Not really. But almost every Sunday, we would recite those two verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And I told Georgia something today she didn't know. Those two verses are the middle two verses in the King James Bible. It has an even number of verses, and those are the two middle ones. I saw on Facebook years ago, Psalm 118, 1 was the middle verse. So I'm a mathematician, you know, so I'm going to doubt that. So I counted all the chapters, and because it talked about the middle chapter and all, and they were wrong. Anyway, but then I Googled it, and different translations might have a different middle verse. But the King James, Psalm 103, 1 and 2 are the middle two verses. Is that important? Well, you read those two verses, and those two verses are important. Why did God stick them right in the middle of the Bible? Ask Him, you know. Anyway, so he had a sin of ingratitude. He didn't thank God, as far as we could tell, for what all He did for him, all His blessings. Number three, it was a sin of selfishness. Do we ever fall into that category? Are we ever selfish about something? Sin of selfishness. You know, look what he says there. The man said, look what I have done. Look what I've done. He did not think of sharing his abundance with others. You know, instead of tearing down the little barns and building big barns, why didn't he have a big party and invite the needy and the friends and family and supply food for a lot of people? He didn't do that. And the top of the next page, you go home and read or do it now, underline all the I's, me's, my's, or whatever in this passage. This was all about him. All about him. He was very selfish. So, that's some of his great sin right there. Because of his attitude, he was not prepared for the things of life and eternity. He was not prepared for the things of life and eternity. You know, Jesus told him in the parable, you fool, tonight you're going to die tonight. And who's going to get all this stuff? So, he was not prepared for that. Roman number three, he was not prepared for life. He was not prepared for life. Life for him was purely on the material level. From what we know about him, it's a parable. Is this a real guy? Could be. But, you know, some parables are based maybe on real events, some maybe not. But he seemed just to be concerned and centered in on his possessions. Roman number three, he wasn't prepared for life. Number four, he was not prepared for death. He was not prepared for death. Let me read you a cute little thing here. And you've probably heard this before. A young man came to Gladstone of England, and I'm sure Dieter can tell you who Gladstone was. Some old guy. Right, Kelvin? Okay. Mr. Gladstone. Wait a minute. That's not what I want. This is what I want. Two women stood by a coffin of a rich man, and one said to the other, "How much did he leave?" And the other woman said, "He left it all." I mean, you know, all of us have possessions. Great, small, whatever. And who's going to get it when you die? John, who's going to get your stuff? Or are you going to stuff it in the coffin? I mean, most of you have wills, and most of you are going to leave it to kids, but maybe not. Maybe they don't have any kids or don't want to. Just some feedback. Where are you going to leave some of your possessions? You can talk. Bill? Who gets your house? You take it with you? Well, who's going to get your house? Melody? Who gets your possessions? I looked at Marilyn. I said, Melody. Okay, Marilyn, who's going to get yours? Your daughter. I thought Melody was going to say about Goldie, her dog, but I'm glad that she thought a little bit. Anybody else? Who's going to get Larry? Who's going to get your house up there?
Our daughter.
Well, good for her. Amy will enjoy it. Okay. How many are going to take some stuff with Peg?
I had an idea.
Oh, this is going to be good. When?
And November.
Okay.
And so a lot of our family are living together in Gunnison. And I had an idea. I went through my china cabinet, and there were several things, some of them very small, but very valuable, that people have given us in Japan and Korea and China and other places. And I thought, I don't want them just to go to Goodwill or something like that. So I box these little things, precious things, up, and I put our four daughters on each one that was very nice. And there was something that was my mother's, and I did something for granddaughters, my necklaces. I don't know how many necklaces, because John loves to get me necklaces.
Good for you, John. Setting a bad example, though. We're just cutting into Dieter's time. That's okay. Oh yeah, and that's good. I love. There's a picture. It's been on Facebook for years. This guy's holding his little boy by the hand. And he opens the garage door, and it's just full of boxes. And he tells the little boy, "Someday this will all be yours." And boy, does that apply to our two sons. They want us to get rid of everything. They don't realize the value of all that stuff. You know, how many of you have stuff that's super valuable to you and nobody else wants it, you know? But you can't throw it away. I got some things from my grandmother, you know, things that are 100 years old or more. My son's going to want that? No. We don't throw that away, this nice crystal thing and all. Anyway, we got to be careful about our possessions, what we do with them and all. And so, where were we? We were in death, weren't we? Okay. So what did he leave behind? Everything. And I mean, the pharaohs, weren't the pharaohs buried with all their stuff, good things and all? But it's still there. Didn't go with them, right? I am going to, when I die in my coffin, I'm going to hold a piece of paper with questions for God. And my first question that has bothered me for years, how many of you have a dog or had a dog? Why is their nose wet when they're healthy and cold and dry when they're sick? And how many of you had a dog, you're wearing shorts, comes up and rubs his nose on the back of your leg? I'm going to ask God that question. Maybe it shouldn't be the first one I ask, but I mean, I have a lot of, we all probably have a lot of questions for God, you know, and anyway, you know what, when we get there, those questions are gone, right, Kelvin? They're not going to matter, except the one about the dog's nose. That's got to, he did something wrong. Okay, so he wasn't prepared for death. The Bible constantly warns us to prepare for death, because death is certain. How many of you are going to die? Anybody got reservations yet? We all should have reservations, right? We just don't have the date, but we should all have reservations of where we're going. And then number five, he was not prepared for eternity. That's something that should be number one in our life. We should be prepared for eternity. You know, everybody's going to have life everlasting. Even those that go to hell, they're going to live in hell forever, you know? And, you know, when you die, you better make sure your reservations are in non-smoking and not smoking. Because, you know, we're going to live forever. Forever. John's almost lived forever. Are you the oldest one in here? How old are you, Bill? You're not 90 yet, are you? How old are you?
89.
Oh, yeah, just a kid. In Arizona, I teach a senior adult Sunday school class. And I've got a lady that, what's today? Right around now, she's turning 95. And I love to pick on Valerie. Pat says, don't pick on her. I said, she loves it. And when I'm 95, I'm wearing a big tag, okay? And John, you better get a tag here in November. I'm 90. You should be proud of that. And for several weeks in a row at our church down there, we had five ladies that were over 90. A 92, three at 94, now she's 95, and then one at 96. And the other day, the 92-year-old died. And in fact, her funeral was yesterday. But it was just great to see that, and God giving long life. But we need to be prepared for eternity. It seems we prepare for everything else. Okay, we got five blanks there. What are some things that we prepare for in life? You know, through your life, what are some things you prepared for? See if we get any of these. Retirement? That's not in there. But that's a very good one. You can write in extra ones. Let's think real young.
Career.
Career's in there. How about birth? How many of you had kids and you kind of prepared for them? All right. Education. Education helps us to prepare for the future. We prepare for business, careers, and the last one everybody here should mark, old age. Anybody not reach old age yet?
Nope.
Well, there's a few youngsters over there. Yeah. As far as the mainstream church here, you know, we need to prepare for old age. So, but we need to prepare for eternity. That's the main thing. Should be number one on our list. We prepare for everything except eternity. We prepare for everything else except eternity. Now we got Gladstone here. Who was Gladstone, by the way? I don't know who he was. Somebody important. He's got a lot of streets named after him. Okay, a young man came to Gladstone of England and said, Mr. Gladstone, I would appreciate your giving me a few minutes in which I could lay before you the plans for my future. I should like to study law. Yes, said the great statesman. And then what? Well, then, sir, I'd like to gain entrance into the bar at England. This is the legal bar, not to the bar. He didn't go down to the Thunderbird. Okay. Yes, sir. And then what? Well, sir, then I hope to have a place in Parliament, in the House of Lords. Yes, young man, then what? Asked Gladstone. Then I hope to do great things for Britain. Yes, young man, and then what? Then, sir, I hope to retire, take life easy. Yes, young man, and then what? He tenaciously asked, well then, Mr. Gladstone, I suppose I'll die. Yes, young man, and then what? The young man hesitated and said, I never thought any further than that, sir. Gladstone, looking at the young man sternly, and said, young man, you're a fool. go home and think your life through. And that guy had everything planned out for his whole life, for the next 50 years or something, and up until death, and he stopped there. Well, really, that's where we should start. We should start planning afterlife. Okay, so the application for this lesson, Luke 12, verse 22 to 34, a long thing. Tammy volunteered. Good for her. Okay, so Jesus tells this parable about this man, and then he kind of summarizes things. It gives us some, how many people have ever seen a bird? You know, Joe, who just passed away, Joe Wade, was a bird watcher. I remember the first two or three times he walked with us at the fossil beds. He had his binoculars on. We never got around the loop because we saw a broad-breasted, spotted, speckled something or other here, right? He loved his birds. I'm not a bird watcher, unless they're bunch of them swarming overhead and they look like vultures, then I get worried. But he loved his birds, and birds are, I mean, how many types of birds are there? You know, God could have created four, you know, he could have created 40, but he's created hundreds and hundreds of kinds of birds, and everyone's different and beautiful, right? There's some ugly birds, but anyway, there's some, you know, some beautiful birds. And turkeys, how many of you like turkey? I like turkey more on the platter on the plate than I do walking around the woods. But we see wild turkeys, I'm sure you do out here. My sister and brother-in-law live in northern Florida, and they got 5 acres of ground. And don't tell the law, but they feed the deer every day. He says, in Florida, it's not illegal. I said, in Colorado, it is. He puts out these pans of corn stuff, and then the turkeys come. He's got 15 deer. They're little deer in Florida. And 15 turkeys walking all around, eating all this stuff. And these turkeys, I don't know what they are, but he had a guy last year from Tennessee, I think, stop. No, he saw him in Hardee's and talking about turkeys, and he said, yeah, I got a lot of money. He says, you do? He says, could I hunt? If I get one, I'll give you $700. $700. You can go to Walmart and get one already prepared for a lot less than that. So this guy came over his house, spent the day, killed one of those turkeys, gave him $700. He came back this year with some friends, $1,000 for a turkey. You know, I mean, they're real pretty. They open up their stuff anyway. And his friend got a turkey. He got $1,000, got a turkey. And I mean, turkeys are beautiful. They're kind of ugly. Their faces and their little thingies and all, they're not real cute. But anyway, but he talked about, you know, God takes care of them. You don't have to put out things of corn for them like my brother-in-law does. God feeds them. And then there's the lilies of the field. You know, we're snowbirds. We live in Arizona for 6 months in the desert. How many people have never been to Arizona desert area? Have you never been there? Only a couple, okay. Well, you know, years ago, I didn't think much of Arizona desert. And then my in-laws were snowbirds, and we'd go down there at spring break. And after two times down there in the middle of the winter, I said, I think I could live here in the winter. And so we've done that for 18 years now. But the desert has beauty, especially this time of year, a little bit late this year. But cacti have flowers. They got stickers, but they've got flowers. Even those big, I love the saguaros. you know, with the arms and all. And they don't get their first arm till they're about 75 years old. So you see these big saguaros. We had one around the corner from us. I stopped and I counted 35 arms. And about 3 years ago, there was a real drought down there, and a lot of the saguaros in Phoenix area died. They're not native to Phoenix. They're up around 2,000 feet, and Phoenix is around 1,000. And so that one died, 35 arms. Pat has a cousin lived out in eastern Arizona. He had one with over 50 arms. And they don't get their first one until they're 75 years old. So how old are some of these? But they get flowers. And there's some kind of squirrely cactus that kind of goes along the ground, about that big around. And they produce these, like, looks like a trumpet, these big white flowers. They're about that long, huge. But they're only out for 2 or 3 days, and they're gone. So I know where some are, so I get my golf cart, and I'm riding around in late April usually, and I missed them this year. But the desert has beauty and just wildflowers. And when we go walking, Larry and Scott and all the good old happy hikers and the hitchhikers, we're walking tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Anyway, there's wildflowers out there in the fossil beds. And there's so many, and you think there's three different kinds. No, there's a bunch of different kinds. But God has beauty, and he says, you know, who put clothes on these flowers? God did. So how much more does he love us and want to take care of us? That's the lesson we want to learn. Does somebody have this verse, or she read it? Luke 12:31. Did I give that out separately? Okay. So what's first in our life? Get that retirement fund built up, right? What are we supposed to seek, Laura?
God.
Seek him, the kingdom of God. And all these other things, they're important, but they'll be added. These are the promise that God gave us. So these things refer to the material things that we are all concerned about. So what are the three main things we're concerned about in life? What did we do last week after the sermon? I ate food. Okay, food. What else? Shelter. How many of you have a house or something that you park your body in overnight? Food, shelter, and clothing. I'm glad you all put on clothes today. But so those are three, and they're important. They're very important to sustain life. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. And he's going to add these things. How many of you have been blessed by food, clothes, and shelter? You know, we're all blessed with that. And they're not ours, we're stewards, remember that. We don't have anything in our own name. The title of my house, I signed that, and my car, I signed that, I own that. Not really. You know, God's loaning that to you while you're here. So, the promise is that if we seek the kingdom of God, he will see that all these other things will be provided. So we're going to look at Matthew 6:33, another gospel, see how different this is. Matthew 6:33. NLT, I like that. okay, it's almost the same, but he adds a little bit to it. So we've got Luke and Matthew agreeing. That's good. It's good when the Gospels agree, right? And anyway, so that's just a lesson to take home. We need to prioritize our life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things are going to be added unto you. Okay. Next week, we're going to lose some stuff. Okay, things get lost next week. So if you figure out where that's coming from, it's Luke 15. We're going to look at losing things and what that has to do. Anybody, anything to add to the lesson today? All righty. Larry, will you dismiss us in prayer?